You bring your Bibles? All right. Let's make our declaration this morning. You guys ready? You got it up there? Come on. This is my Bible. I live by its truth. I walk in its light. I rest in its promises. I'm empowered by its love. And I overcome by the faith produced from receiving this seed sown into my heart. Father, we thank you today that that's what your word brings to us. It brings your life to us. Lord, Peter wrote and told us that we're born again by the incorruptible seed of your word entering in our hearts, taking root, and producing the life that it contains in us. Just as your word produced your son in the womb of Mary, your word is producing your life inside of us. So, Father, we thank you for it today, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to read a couple scriptures to you this morning. And this morning, I'm just preaching on the cross. And, you know, it's interesting. We always think God needs a little more than what he gave us. I mean, he should have added, done a few other things, should have added something to it. So we always like adding to what God does. And so we come to days of remembrance like this, whether it's Easter or Christmas, and we've just added a lot of things to Resurrection Sunday, haven't we? Amen. Things like Cadbury bunnies. Not sure there was one there in Jerusalem, but not even sure if there is a Cadbury bunny or any bunny that drops chocolate-filled. I mean, just anyway, moving right along. So, but let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech, of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and what? Him crucified, yeah. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And something dynamic would happen if we get back to the power of God in our life. And not just be so reliant on the add-tos that we brought into the gospel, but just get back to the simplicity of the gospel and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Also go to chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15. Paul just says it again a little bit differently here. In verse 1, and he says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for what? Our sins. According to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12. After he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then at last, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached, and you believed. Amen? But Paul just declaring, he says, my strength, my hope, and my endurance is just in this, in the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's so important in your life and for mine. So let me give you a little introduction before I get into the message this morning. Today is Resurrection Sunday, a day we set aside and remember the divinity clothed in humanity, broke every chain of bondage, and bore every sorrow and grief, carried every sickness and disease to a hill called Calvary. Nailed it to the cross, died and paid the price to redeem humanity, rising again the third day victoriously. Amen? Amen. In other words, If our world needs anything today, it is to truly remember the day when the world was changed forever. This is not just an annual holiday that we move around on the calendar from year to year. You know, this year is in March, next year will be April, and back. It just jumps around. But it's not. That's not what it's about. It's more than spring break. Amen? And as I said earlier, I'm surely there was no egg-laying bunny involved. Just a God who loved us so much, he would become all man for all men. That he would choose to come to gather up all that was in Adam and to do away with it. Our old man has been crucified in Christ. God has put all of humanity in Christ and crucified him as the last Adam. All is that is of the first has passed away. Christ has been raised in new form in the Spirit, so all can receive him, and that's the power of the cross. for you and for me. Why don't you have your Bibles to go with me to Colossians chapter 2. He knew he had to go there and to take our sin there so that we could be redeemed. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15 says this. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Amen. So Jesus went there, and everything that was against you, what happened is through his death, your past of your record has been expunged. It's been wiped out. You can't be charged with your past. It can't be brought against you again. Thank God for the cleansing power of the blood that was shed at Calvary. Amen. It covers and cleanses us and gives us that redemption. Amen. Listen to what Oswald Chambers says, though. And it is true that God loved us. It said, John 3:16, for God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. But sometimes we've made the love of God the key and don't understand the righteousness of judgment that Jesus had to fulfill. So listen to what Chambers says about this. He says, when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. He says, I finished the work that you gave me to do. The death of Jesus Christ is the performance in history of the very mind of God. There's no room for looking on Jesus as a martyr. His death was not something that happened to him which might have been prevented. His death was the very reason that he came. He stood before Pilate, that's what he declared, for this purpose I have come. Never build your preaching or your believing of forgiveness on the fact that God is our Father and he will forgive us simply because he loves us. It is untrue to the Jesus Christ revelation of God. It makes the cross unnecessary and the redemption much to do about nothing. If God does forgive sin, it is because of the death of Christ. God can't forgive us because he loves us. He can only forgive us through the death of his son. Jesus says, I have to go there. In Luke 18, he tells his disciples, we're going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed in the hands of sinners. And they will mock me and they will scourge me and they will put me to the death. But on the third day, I will arise. The only way to redeem. God loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his son to become all man for you, that he could take all of your sin, all of your iniquity, all of your failure, everything that separated you from God, and he could place it upon his son and then nail it with his son to the cross so that he would die and fulfill the righteous judgment of heaven on your behalf. So God, through his blood, could say, it is not only finished, but now it is fulfilled. And you can be forgiven, and I can accept you back to myself, and we can have the relationship that I created man to have with me in the beginning. It can come no other way. Think about it. If God does forgive sin, it's because of the death of Christ. God could forgive men in no other way than by the death of his son. And Jesus is exalted to be the Savior because of his death. The scripture tells us we see Jesus because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. The greatest note of triumph that ever sounded in the ears of a startled universe was that sounded on the cross of Christ when he declared, it is finished. That is the last word in the redemption of man. Anything that belittles or obliterates the holiness of God by a false view of the love of God is untrue to the revelation of God given by Jesus Christ. Amen. But we have that today. We have a ushy-gushy God instead of a righteous and holy God. Amen. But I pray today we break that down in Jesus' name. Think about it. Never allow the thought that Jesus Christ stands with us against God out of pity and compassion, that he became a curse out of sympathy for us. Jesus became a curse for us by the divine decree. God decreed that there would be a redeemer and one would die for our sin. Our portion of realizing the terrific meaning of the curse is conviction of sin. That's why we don't like it. How many like that walk that brings conviction? And get no hands on that walk either. Amen. So watch this. The gift of shame and penitence is given to us. This is the great mercy of God, that we see our need of a Savior. And then we come and we receive that forgiveness through His atoning work on the cross. Listen to this. This statement is so powerful. Jesus Christ hates the wrong in man. Jesus Christ hates the wrong in man. And Calvary is the estimate of His hatred. Wow. How much did God hate what sin did to His creation? This much. So much that He would have His Son die to redeem us out of that. Amen? Walk back with your outline with me. So let's think about this. The walk to Calvary. Jesus walked to the cross knowing this. He knew the rejection He would suffer. He walked there anyway. He knew the torture and pain He would have to endure. He walked there anyway. He knew that He would have to become the carrier of the sin of the world so it could be nailed to His cross. And He carried that cross willfully. Think about this. He knew that becoming sin for us would mean that His fellowship with the Father would be broken. He knew that the greatest pain He would suffer would not be inflicted by man, but would come at the moment that the Father would have to break His fellowship with Him. And He would be completely alone in this world and forsaken by the Father because He chose, out of love for us and for the Father, to become sin for us. And He knew that if He did not go, we could never be free. Listen to me just for a moment. The thing they'll tell you, doctors tell you, when they pierced the side of Jesus, that blood and water came out, and it's significant of a ruptured heart in that. And what happens with that. And the fluids that come around the heart and do all that. And so in that area there, Jesus had never known anything but the presence of God. Ever. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And then the Word became flesh to redeem you and me. And even while He was here, listen to what He said. I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me. I don't do anything except what I see the Father do. I don't say anything except what I hear the Father say. I'm in fellowship with the Father. All I've ever known is communion and fellowship with Him. But I know this, that if I become sin, that sin will break that fellowship. And God, my Father, and I will be separated for the first time in all of eternity. And I'm willing to be separated from my Father so that I can remove what has you separated from Him. And in that moment on the cross, He cries out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And He, first time throughout eternity, He was alone without God. And if you're here today and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the loneliness that you're walking in. And that's what He came to redeem you out of, to bring you back to the Father. Back to His presence. But He could only do it by going there for you and me. How many are glad He chose that walk? Amen. He knew that only through the cross could the Father be justified in raising him from the dead and forgiving us. He knew that his love for the Father could only be expressed by his obedience to his will. So what did he do? He walked to the cross so he could walk out of the grave. If I don't go there, I can't come out. But in going there, I can conquer the devil. This is what he read. He triumphed over the principalities and power, made an open spectacle of their defeat because he chose to walk there. See, we must all take a walk to Calvary. We must come to the cross and lay our lives down for him, that we might live with him for all of eternity. And I pray that if I've ever brought this across, that somehow salvation is cheap, and all you have to do is just pray a 30-second prayer and never walk to the cross, I ask for your forgiveness. Because you can't be saved without going through Calvary. You have to choose to come to the cross, to lay your life down for the one who gave his life for you. And then you get up and you walk, as Paul said to Romans, in newness of life. The call is to walk in newness of life with him. Amen? We cannot bypass our walk to the cross. If we want to live in him and partake of his resurrection life, he chose to die for us. We must choose to die to ourselves and to live for him. And we begin with our walk to Calvary, for life in Christ begins there. Amen.
I look to the cross, I cling. Of its suffering, I do drink. Of its work, I do sing. On it, my Savior was bruised and crushed. That God is love and God is just. At the cross you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love I am. Freely broken, wholly surrendered. Yeah. Whoa. My Lord. What a priceless gift. Undeserved life, and I've been given through Christ crucified. Called me out of death, and called me into life. I was under your wrath. Now through the cross I'm reconciled. Amen? Oh, yes. At the cross you beckon me. You draw me gently to my knees, I am lost for words, so lost in love, I am sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. At the cross, you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love, I am sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. And on the cross I must confess how wondrous your redeeming love, and how great is your faithfulness. At the cross you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love, I am sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. At the cross you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love, I am sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. Oh, I'm broken for you, Lord. Oh, I'm broken for you. I'm broken for you, Lord. I'm broken for you. Oh,
my back, there we go. In preparing for today, I've just been looking around and thinking about it, and even the things we've done. So many things that we've tried to add to the cross. Because I think sometimes we just want it to be palatable. And it's not a place that's easy. It's a place of brokenness. It's a place where I realize what he had to go through for me to be free. And what that costs. And then it draws me to, when I see it in its reality, it draws me to him with abandon and love for him. And I see what he gave for me, and I say, how can I hold back in giving anything of myself for him? You put that last picture up, Eli, that blue one. See, we don't like to see that picture. We don't like to think of his body ripped apart. We don't like to see how ugly sin is and how much it costs. And even with all the modern technology of makeup and things that Hollywood has today, and when they made The Passion of the Christ, it probably was the closest thing to showing what it was like to be tortured like that. It pales in comparison when Solomon sacrificed the dedication of the temple, thousands and thousands of animals were sacrificed, and the blood ran and flowed almost like a river. And it was called a shambles. But all that blood is nothing in comparison to the blood that flowed from your Savior. The worship team, come back. The end of the message is there in your outline. And it just says that we're called to walk worthy of Him. Paul wrote and he said, Colossians 2, he says, "And you therefore, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." Walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the truth, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Ephesians says that we're supposed to walk worthy of our calling. And He calls us out of darkness and into light with Him. But for me, I never want to lose sight of the cross. Because every time I remember the cross, I remember the victory that's mine in Him. Amen? And I remember the day I came to Him with all my failures, all my faults, all my brokenness. And He forgave me. And He gave me life. And I wish I could tell you I've had a perfect walk. I've just tried to have a good one. I don't know if I can have a perfect one. But I've tried to have a good one that makes me remember. And I keep myself focused on what He gave for me. And He is a God of forgiveness and restoration. And I'm so thankful for that, that He's brought into my life. But as I sang, I want to stay sweetly broken and wholly surrendered to Him. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? And I'm not preaching against anything today. I'm not taking away anything. We have freedom to do whatever we want, but I'm even having a hard time saying Easter anymore. Because the reason we're here on Sundays is because this is the day of resurrection. And we're people of resurrected life. Aaron, I don't want to make small something that is so great and beyond comprehension. Amen? But that doesn't mean we judge, we condemn. We just keep focused on Him. God takes care of all the other stuff. If He needs your help, He'll actually ask you. Amen? And He'll give you a way to make a difference and not just an argument. Amen. If God uses you, it'll make a difference. If it's just you, it'll be an argument and cause division. Amen? So I'm just doing this. Nobody knows your heart but you. Nobody knows where you are but you. And I'm just going to ask Him to lead us in this one song of worship as we close. I'm not asking you to bow your head. I'm not asking you to raise your hand, close your eyes, pray a prayer. I'm just saying, if you've held back from receiving His life, maybe today, on this resurrection day, you would take a walk. Jesus walked to Calvary for you, endured all of that for you. Maybe you could walk to the cross for him today. Find a place of prayer. Just say, Lord, I give you my life. Let me tell you this. Praying a prayer with somebody is nothing compared to you praying your own prayer to the Lord. Repeating after me is nothing compared to you finding a place of prayer, saying, Lord, I'm giving you my life. I'm nobody's leading me. I'm coming and giving my life to you. So as they lead us, we're just going to leave this altar open right here. I'll meet you here. If you want me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. But maybe today is a day that you could be sweetly broken and wholly surrendered unto him. That he could bring you to a place that you could bow a knee at the foot of the cross, give your life to him, and let him give his life to you. In Jesus' name. As they sing, if that's you, today's your day. God brought you here just for this moment to remind you what he's done for you through his son. Brought forgiveness to your life. As they sing, you come. Let's pray. Let's say yes to God. Take that walk today. Maybe you need just to make a rededication. Whatever it is, if there's anything that's got between, if you've walked away, time to come back. Peter walked away in trial but ran to him after the resurrection. Whatever it is, just find your way. Let him bring that brokenness into your life that he might bring wholeness back to you. In Jesus' name.